gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Jihad hits Spain one more time. Jihad in Barcelona. ISIS strikes again, of course. The Islamic State attacks in Spain. And, of course, you know, it's not from the indigenous population, as we are learning and the information is rolling in. And we don't like to comment on these kinds of things until such time as we really have the full story. The full story at this point is you've got more than a dozen dead, more than 100 injured, multiple situations, one motor vehicle attack, one explosion. You've got varying reports. So that aside, and a good segue as well is, you know, the news media, when you look at the media, there is a level, I believe, of deception that's built in. And you really have to use discernment. And I think that you're going to be called upon to use your discernment here in the future. And this is Steve Quayle and Tim Alberino are joining us tonight to talk about the deception and the discernment and to get into exactly what is taking place. They've got, I'm going to tell you something. You want to talk about really cutting-edge information, stevequayle.com, Tim Alberino, gen6conferences.com, and the information they have is just second to none. Before we get to Steve and Tim Alberino, before we bring them on, you know, we have used ZipRecruiter for our hiring needs, and I have never been happier with any company. Never in my life have been happier than I am with ZipRecruiter. So if you own a small business, if you are hiring, do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? It's a challenge. It really is to find great talent. And it's important to find the right talent. Well, I've got the answer. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. No one does it better. Remember the old Carole King song? That's why ZipRecruiter is different. I can guarantee you, I use their ZipRecruiter, their interface. It's fantastic. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of the jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in 24 hours. That's been our experience. Within 24 hours, you got it. Now, no juggling emails, no calls to your office, simple screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Now, here's the deal. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And I'm talking 24 hours, and your needs are filled or can be filled. In general, right now, my listeners can post their jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. You can't beat that. That's right, free. Here's all you have to do. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. And from personal experience, this is the best of the best, and you'll fill your immediate needs, and it'll be so easy. You'll be thanking me later. ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. Now, let's bring Steve and Tim Alberino on. Steve, I'm going to go to you first. Steve, thanks for your patience, and thanks for joining us tonight. Man, you've got so much information.
Well, this thank you, good, Doug, good and tonight... Yep. Tonight, Tim and I are going to take on a subject that a lot of people have been dealing with. And interestingly enough, it was the very first book I ever wrote called Aliens and Fallen Angels, The Sexual Corruption of the Human Race. And tonight we're going to deal with some of the differentiations between evil spirits, demons, and entities, fallen angels, that are able to take on corporeal bodies. In other words, they can take on the body of human beings, they can eat, and they can do other things. And for the people, I can't read all the scripture tonight, but they can go to Genesis 19, and they'll see that the angels that came into Lot's house were so much like men that the men who were the sodomites wanted to have sex with them. Now, a lot of people forget this, that, you know, this is in the Old Testament, and they say, well, angels, you know, are neither given or taken in marriage, but are as the, I'm sorry, Jesus said angels, or excuse me, in heaven, when the Pharisees were asking about marriage, he said, there is no marriage in heaven. And the point is that there is on earth. So the fallen angels came to earth. But there were fallen angels are different from demons, and they're different from aliens. And I want to, Doug, in order to open up tonight, I want to read a lot of the, some of the wisest men, people in the Air Force, scientists, others, whose statements concerning UFOs are very telling. I think, I don't know of any of them except maybe Dr. Wernher von Braun, who ultimately became a Christian, and on his grave, I believe, is Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows forth his handiwork. But I want to quote some quotes, and I'm going to turn it over to Tim. We are dealing, this is by Jacques Vallée, and he is an astronomer and a very, very bright man. We are dealing with, concerning the UFO phenomenon, we are dealing with a yet unrecognized level of consciousness, independent of man, but closely linked to the earth. I do not believe anymore that UFOs are simply the spacecraft of some race of extraterrestrial visitors. This notion is too simplistic to explain their appearance, the frequency of their manifestations through recorded history, and the structure of the information exchanged with them during contact. Skeptics who flatly deny the existence of any unexplained phenomenon in the name of rationalism are among the primary contributors to the rejection of science by the public. People are not stupid, and they know very well when they have seen something out of the ordinary. When a so-called expert tells them the object must have been the moon or a mirage, he is really teaching the public that science is impotent or unwilling to pursue the study of the unknown. Now listen to this. The symbolic display, again, Jacques Vallée, the symbolic display seen by the abductees is identical to the type of initiation, ritual, or astral voyage, astral projection, that is embedded in the occult traditions of every culture. The structure of abduction stories is, this is amazing, that the structure of abduction stories is identical to that of occult initiation rituals. The UFO beings of today belong to the same class of manifestation as the occult entities that were described in centuries past. Now remember, this is a scientist. He's talking about very evil spiritual. Listen to this. The medical examination to which abductees are said to be subjected, often accompanied by sadistic sexual manipulation, great, aliens are into SM, is reminiscent of the medieval tales of encounters with demons. It makes no sense in a sophisticated or technical framework. Any intelligent being equipped with scientific marvels like that UFO possess would be in a position to achieve any of these alleged scientific objectives in a shorter time and with fewer risks. I will stress once again that we do not know the source from which UFOs or the alien beings come, whether or not, for example, they originate in the physical universe as modern astrophysics has described it, but they manifest in the physical world and bring about definable consequences in that domain. So in Genesis 19, when the angels go down to see, and remember, the idea was that they were going to see if the destruction, forgive me, they're going to ensure the destruction, and it was interesting to me that people forget that these angels looked totally like men, they could eat, and they were offered the ability to sleep, but obviously in a house, but they said, we're going to go into the streets all night. They probably wanted to make sure that, you know, everything was in place for the judgment that would come upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Now again, what's interesting, years ago, Doug, I interviewed Whitley Strieber, and Whitley Strieber was an amazing guy. I really like him a lot. And when he talks about demons, and when he talks about what he was subjected to, his rational scientific mind was kind of blown, because in the end of the encounter, he said that he was, it was like a whole different occult, and he even used the word demon. He wanted to scream, and yet he couldn't. So tonight what we're going to do is cover the different manifestations of aliens, and we're going to get to the point where I think people will have a whole different understanding of the level and the time of deception, and I'm going on record as saying from the time the Catholic Church, and I'm sorry, this is not an anti-Catholic statement, but started talking about baptizing aliens, aliens. The reason why that is not acceptable to God is because Jesus died for humanity that was created by God. Jesus is called the second Adam. So the point being is the first Adam transgressed. Sin came in the human race. The human genome then was corrupted in ways I think that we're going to find out as transhumanism and genetic manipulation continue to accelerate. But we're talking again about a phenomenon that is largely occult-based, and occult just means hidden. And the fact that, Tom Horn was at Mount Graham and some of those famous astronomers in the world, guys with more degrees than, like I like to say, than thermometers, were there telling them they had to wait for the field to clear because there were so many unidentified flying objects. None of the early space flights could get away from acknowledging them. And Alan Hynek, who was the head of Project Blue Book, talked specifically about being briefed by the Air Force to even go so far as to have Disney make cartoons to ridicule it. In other words, Hynek said, in no uncertain terms, this was an orchestrated government cover-up like no other. And he then went on to say that the evidence is beyond any deniability, and it's totally there. And so we have it through the entire spectrum. And I'll get into more of these quotes, but here's the thing that people have got to understand. Jesus' words to us were, "Be not deceived." And deception can come in many packages. And it's interesting that even Lilith the night hag, which is mentioned, and by the way, that's what it's talking about in Psalm 91, the terror that comes by night, was a demon that could take on the beautiful human form of a female and literally take on the realm of a succubus, a female demon, and sexually engage men and then devour them. In essence, cannibalize them. So I won't go into the details. There is a strange phenomenon that biologically would allow that to take place. It's not within this time period to talk about it. But as tonight, Tim and I are going to talk about our desire to make known to people, if they understand this, they won't get on the spaceship like in that episode from The Twilight Zone to serve man to a giant alien. I think that's lost to most people. That was one of the most famous Twilight Zone episodes called To Serve Man. You can go on and do an internet search and pull it up. But I don't know if you remember that, Doug, but that thing was a giant alien. He wasn't a normal size. So, thanks for having Tim and I on tonight. And let me just say one more thing, that Branson now is filled up. We are limited. We can't invent seats. We tried to warn everybody. And so now the only way that they're going to be able to see it is to live stream it. And we're filling up fast. I think people think that was just a makeup story. I had one guy read me the riot act that we should have known that this thing would fill up. And I mean, by the time he got through, I answered him politely, believe it or not, and we can't make seats where there are none. He waited. He continued to gripe. He said, "I want to be where the power of God is." And I sent him an email saying, "You better check your heart, pal." I didn't say pal. I said mister or something. But anyway, Branson is sold out. We're looking for a powerful move of God there. And some of the most, I would say this, cutting-edge, reality-based, biblically accurate, and important information for people to be able to understand the gospel, understand the nature of spiritual war, and understand how the future is now. And the future is here. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, thank you for having me on, gentlemen. There's a lot of misconceptions floating around concerning the UFO question, concerning aliens, especially among Christian communities. This is an extremely serious topic. The question of UFOs, the question of aliens, as it spills over into the topics of transhumanism, post-humanism, is deadly serious. This is not a trivial topic. This is very important information, and it's very important to make sure that we are processing it properly, that we're not over-spiritualizing the situation, and that we're not falling into the Space Brothers are our friends lie either. So I like to come down on this topic in the most rational position possible. And For me, this began, I was studying UFOs and aliens for a while, some years ago. And I've said this on your show before, Doug, but I'll say it again for those who haven't heard, because I'm not just somebody who's studied UFOs and who's just sort of has a hobby of looking into this kind of stuff. I was very intensely involved in studying UFOs for a while and really trying to figure out, what exactly is going on here with this, the abductions and the whole scenario, because really this thing really began to get a lot of traction. It came into the public purview some time in the 80s, probably the early 80s, and then it ramped up into the 90s, and it's been going strong ever since. In fact, as I've said, I think last time I was on your show, Doug, I said that, that you can pull up Fox News, CNN, you can pull up MSNBC, you can pull up the major newspaper websites on any given day, and you're going to find a story either concerning Mars, concerning the moon, or concerning UFOs. There's going to be some kind of a story alien related every single day. And I know because I do it. I check every day, and I find more often than not there's some kind of a story that is revitalizing this topic in the minds of the consumers of news. And as I've said before, I believe that this is a process of gradual and slow revealing, a process of revelation, a process of disclosure that is actually happening. It's already underway, but it's not a sudden thing. It's not the president gets up to the microphone and announces that alien life is real or what have you, UFOs are real. It's just being slowly integrated into our subconscious until we assimilate it, just like they're doing with transhumanism, just like they're doing with the transgender stuff. It's a very slow, gradual process, and we subconsciously just assimilate it into our thought process, and it's not shocking anymore. We take it for granted, and by doing that, they can control the way that we think about these things because they're working on a subconscious level, so we need to be aware of that. But while I was in the midst of studying the UFO topic every single day, and really, as I said before, really trying to get to the bottom of it, I was actually involved with my brother-in-law trying to work out the mechanics of how UFOs fly based on other people's research. And in the midst of this, right in the midst of this period of my life, my brother-in-law and myself, we decided to drive over to a store. I believe it was GNC or something, supplement store, because we work out together and we wanted to go buy some supplements. So we were driving, we were on our way to the neighborhood in which I grew up, which I find interesting. I grew up in Brook Park, Ohio, and I was living in Cleveland at the time. I no longer live there, but that's where I was at the time. And we were driving into an area that was very familiar to me. I grew up in this area, and I spent a lot of time riding my bike around this area. And as we're driving up to this intersection, there's a strip mall. It's a strip mall with a large parking lot in front of it. And it was a very cold, windy, very, very windy night, very cold. And we're pulling up to the intersection. And on the other side of the intersection is this shopping complex, this strip mall. And, my brother-in-law and I noticed that above the shopping complex, there was this vehicle hovering. And it couldn't have been more than 30 feet above the building on the end of this complex, and we looked at it and we instantly thought that it was a Chinook helicopter, that the National Guard was doing some kind of a drill. That's the first thing that came into our mind. And in fact, I think we even said, "Look at that Chinook or whatever," because it was the size of a large helicopter. It was definitely larger than a regular size helicopter. This was a Chinook style, a cargo carrier style helicopter size. And so we're looking at this thing, and my brother-in-law had the sense to roll his window down, because obviously if there's a big helicopter hovering only 100 yards or so from your vehicle, you should be able to hear it and feel the impact of the wind. And The first thing we realized was that there was no sound whatsoever coming from this craft. And so I pulled through the intersection. I pulled into the into the driveway. It's a very large driveway. It was relatively empty. It was probably around 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Relatively empty, extremely windy. I pull in, and I just throw my car into park because this craft moved directly over my vehicle and began to descend right over top of myself and my brother-in-law. And keep in mind, this is right in the midst of the time that I was studying this stuff really heavily, really engaged in the UFO question, the alien question. And so here this thing is now descending right over me. It's descending right on top of my car, and we're looking up through the windshield. Our jaws are dropped. We're speechless watching this thing descend over us. It had triangular lights. It was the size of a large helicopter or small aircraft, commercial aircraft, and it had some other color lights, but I remember distinctly these triangular lights, and it descended probably about, I would say, 30 to 50 feet above my car. Our windows were rolled down. There was not a sound. There was no propulsionary system to speak of. No propellers. There was no exhaust. I've seen those Harrier jets take off in different settings, and they're strong enough to blow cars out of the way. There was nothing like that whatsoever. And again, this was a windy night. This craft was not moving at all in terms of being blown by the wind. It did not have fixed wings. It was not a saucer. It resembled, and I always say this, it resembled something more akin to the vehicles that are in the Batman Begins movie or the new Batman series. That kind of angular grayish-green body armor is what it had. I have a distinct sense that it was military, but it wasn't our technology. That's the distinct sense that I had. This is military, but it's not our technology. I don't know why I had that sense, but that's what I felt. So I witnessed this thing, and it hovered over us for a while. And no, we don't have any missing time, and no, we were not in some kind of an abduction scenario. But we were sitting there with our jaws dropped, watching this thing descend over us about 50, 30 feet, somewhere in there. And we were able to see it in great detail. And after a while, after about 20 seconds or so of watching this thing, I told my brother-in-law, his name's Tony, I said, "Tony, your phone. He had a smartphone, I didn't at the time. And he began to reach for his phone, scramble for his phone, and was trying to get the video app open on his phone so that we could record this thing. We would have got probably the best UFO footage that was ever put online. The real UFO footage, if he would have got this thing out of his pocket in time. By the time he got it out of his pocket and lifted it up, this craft shot up into the air and began to just drift over towards the horizon. So the reason why I say that is because, again, I was in the midst of studying this. I'm approaching all of this, of course, from a biblical worldview. Most of you know I am a believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I'm not involved in the New Age or anything like that. And here I am put in a position as I'm studying it to actually see it with my eyes very close to my car with a witness sitting next to me. So no, I wasn't dreaming. I've never smoked pot in my life. I've never even been drunk. And I'm only saying that to show you that I was in a proper state of mind. And I witnessed this thing in real time. And I can tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, for those of you who might still have doubts concerning UFOs, this technology exists. And furthermore, our military is in possession of it to a degree. And there is no question in my mind that that technology that I saw was not our technology. It might have been incorporated into a military black project, and we might now have craft that are using that technology, but it did not come from us. It came from something else, from some other source. And it was as advanced as everything you've ever heard or everything you've ever read. It's as advanced as the kind of stuff that Steve Quayle has been talking about for many years. And so I am here to verify that it is absolutely true. I'm not a second-hand witness. I am a first-hand witness. I didn't see a blink in the sky or some saucer floating distantly on the horizon. This sucker was descending right over top of me. So, and I said that just to, for those of you who may still have doubts concerning the whole UFO question. You should not doubt. this technology is real, and we are now in possession of it. And the real question is, and we can get into this later if you want, Steve, the real question is, what kind of Faustian bargains did we have to make in order to get that technology? And that's a bit of a rabbit hole, but it's part of the problem. Because we're heading rapidly into the genetic age. I always say this, we're heading into the hybrid age, and there's no denying it, and there's no stopping it. Humanity is running out of time, genetically speaking. I talked about that last time I was on your program, Doug, and that is why we're seeing a resurgence if we think about the antediluvian age. We're seeing a resurgence of this of the hybrid paradigm, and furthermore, something called transhumanism, which most of you are probably quite familiar with at this point. Human beings are soon to radically redefine what it means to be human. And the technology is now in place to do that. And the reason why I'm right off the bat here linking this UFO phenomenon to transhumanism is because they are intrinsically connected. These things are intrinsically connected. By the way, the UFO phenomenon has been going on for a very long time. For anybody that's done any in-depth study on the UFO question into ufology, will discover this very quickly. I mean, there's reports of flying ships and flying saucers that go back way back into the 1800s, the 1700s, so even the time of Columbus and beyond. So this isn't something new that's happening, as Steve was quoting Jacques Vallée there in the beginning. But what we do need to understand is that we have seen an acceleration of this activity in the last century, and there's no question about that. And when I say the last century, what I mean is from the beginning of the 20th century until today, there has been an increase in UFO activity in the Earth, alien abductions, and all kinds of high strangeness happening all over the planet. Now, there's something else that had an acceleration during this period of time. There's something else that was advancing, that was progressing concurrently with this acceleration of the UFO phenomenon, and that is the occult. The occult was also burgeoning at the same time. It's an occult part of American history. It's a very little known fact of American history, and it's not just of American history. It's really a phenomenon of Western society that's known, but it's little known. Historians know this information, but by and large, the public is not aware of how popularized the occult became in the early 20th century. And that's when you get in that area a little bit before the dawn of the 20th century, and then entering into the beginning of the 20th century. That's when you have the most prolific occult personalities, such as Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, Nicholas Rorick. You have Aleister Crowley. These are the kind of characters that are coming onto the scene. And shortly thereafter, you have the occult. Political party of the Nazis, the Third Reich. The Nazi party was an occult party. It was a religious party. It was not purely political. It was an amalgamation of the occult and of political ideals. And a lot of the philosophical undergirding that went into the Third Reich, into the formulation of the Nazi party, came directly from the secret doctrine, came directly from the famous occultists, the German occultists and the Russian occultists, that were making their rounds around the earth at that time. And they were teaching this esoteric knowledge. And they were, in my opinion, these people were true occult initiates. These were not fakers. These were not posers like a lot of the occult, what we know of the occult today. We think of palm readers, and we think of tarot card readers, and we think of the frauds that have been exposed, especially in the United States, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people who are keeping, who have recovered to a degree, and who are keeping and practicing the illicit knowledge of the watchers from the world before the flood of Noah. So this is beginning to surge in the early 20th century, and the occult is surging, not just in the United States, all over the Western world. And lo and behold, what begins to surge along with it? The UFO phenomenon. Now, having said that, let me say this. The UFO phenomenon, UFOs and aliens, this is not a primarily spiritual phenomenon. It is not. The craft that I saw hovering above my head was not ethereal. It was physical. It was nuts and bolts technology. The entities that are operating these craft, I believe, are corporeal. These are flesh and blood creatures. They are demonic in nature, but they are corporeal. And there are many reasons why I believe that. And I often cite the testimony of Phil Schneider, who Steve had the privilege of talking to before he was killed. I mean, they tried to kill him many times before they ultimately achieved their goal in silencing him by killing him. Phil, as many of you know, was on a circuit talking about the exposing the deep underground military bases that were being constructed beneath our feet in complete secrecy, and the alien entities that we were encountering as we were building these things. And Phil testifies of the incident, and he had the physical wounds to prove that this happened to him, and other artifacts that he used to travel around with. He had an encounter with one of these entities beneath the ground, under the ground, in a very deep chamber that they were blowing out. I believe they were building an addition onto the Dulce base, and of course many of you know the story. Phil Schneider went down. He was lowered down in a basket with a green beret, and encountered these entities under the ground. And Phil Schneider was obviously shocked to find these entities down there. These group of what might be described as tall grays were down there, and they were very grotesque, and it was a very disgusting sort of environment that opened up beneath this basket that Phil and the Green Beret were being lowered down into this cavern in. And Phil Schneider pulled out his pistol and shot a few of these things dead with a pistol before one of them waved its hand in front of its chest and some sort of a plasma or some sort of a electric discharge hit Phil, burned his two of his fingers off, burned his toes, some of his toes off, and gave him a very aggressive form of cancer. And so Phil Schneider bore in his body the testimony that these beings are in fact very corporeal. But we don't have to rely just on Phil Schneider's testimony. I mean, all we have to do is think back to the offspring of the Watchers, the Giants, and the other monsters that were created through the illicit miscegenation of the Watchers in the world before the flood of Noah. These creatures were corporeal. Yes, they were part, part fallen angel, and they were part human or part donkey or whatever other creature that these Watchers were breeding with. But they were corporeal. The Goliath was certainly made of flesh and blood. David chopped his head off and killed him with a stone and chopped his head off. So to simply relegate UFOs and the UFO phenomenon and the alien question to the ethereal, to the supernatural, I think is a big mistake. And there's a lot of people out there who are attempting to do this for some reason. And I don't know if they're attempting to do this because it frightens them or because they don't know how to square the circle, as it is, in terms of, as it were, I mean, in terms of this phenomena fitting in to the biblical narrative. But I believe it absolutely does. And I think we need to remember and we need to take into account some of the advances in physics that we now know about, such as, especially as it relates to hyperdimensions, which we know without a shadow of a doubt now exist, and which we know now exist rather, and quantum physics. And when you get down to, and I'm not going to go into a whole diatribe here about quantum physics, but when you get down to the quantum level in physics, when you go to the subatomic level of the atom and you get into the quantum realm, the usual laws, the Newtonian physics that we are aware of, the law of gravity and so forth, seem to be overridden by a bizarre, almost supernatural kind of physics that we refer to as quantum mechanics. And so there is a point at which the corporeal, the physical, and the spirit, and what we consider to be the spiritual, the supernatural, come together in the fabric of time and space. And so I think we even need to reconsider the way that we think about the supernatural. I like to think about it as the hypernatural. We are living in the totality of creation. We are living in a creation of multiple dimensions, but we can only perceive three of them. And so that is the case, and I believe that science has proven that that is the case, then it becomes easier to understand how entities and how craft can be moving around in ways that are foreign to us, because of the fall, I believe Adam was able to perceive the totality of creation, but because of sin, a sin darkened his mind, and of course death came through sin. So we have lost our ability to perceive the totality of created order, and these entities are still functioning. They're functioning, they're using laws of physics that we have simply not yet perceived. So we are dealing with a situation that is very real, that is corporeal, that is tangible, and I believe very dangerous at this point, because as I alluded to before, the governments of the world, especially the United States, I believe Russia, and some of the other first world nations have made Faustian bargains with these non-human entities, and this is certainly in play when we talk about prophecy concerning the end times, and when we talk about geopolitics, even the underlying situation that is driving much of the geopolitics and much of the other affairs that are occurring on the earth in our day and age. So it's important for us to be aware of all of this. It's important for us to approach these topics as rationally, as pragmatically, and as maturely as possible, and not just sweep them under the rug as some nebulous, unexplainable spiritual phenomenon and just label everything either Nephilim or demons or something else, because this is very complex, and we're dealing with physics, and we're dealing with nuts and bolts technology, and we're dealing with corporeal beings.
And I think this is a good point to bring in. It's interesting that the UFO and the inhabitants, and I'm talking of corporeal. Now, the Nazis did two things. The Nazis had seances, they had spiritism, mysticism. Obviously, they had the Anunnaki that went throughout the world looking for religious relics that they thought had supernatural power. But they also were contacted by UFOs and by the inhabitants of UFOs. Now, listen to this, and I don't think people know who, and they will learn after tonight, or those who have read my book, but Hermann Oberth, O-B-E-R-T-H, was one of the smartest rocket scientists in the world, who came to the United States along with Wernher von Braun. And listen, this is a quote of his. Dr. Hermann Oberth, who pioneered rocket design for the German Reich during World War II and later advanced rocket technologies for the American manned space launches, cryptically stated, "We Germans," that's what he said, "cannot take the credit for our record advancements in certain scientific fields alone. We have been helped." When asked by whom, he replied, "The people of other worlds." Now, everybody knows that Michio Kaku is probably one of the smartest theoretical physicists in the world. And here's what he said. "In my mind, there is no question that they're out there. My career is well established. My textbook are required reading in all the major capitals on planet Earth. If you want to become a physicist to learn about the unified field theory, you read my books. Therefore, I'm in a position to say, yes, most likely they're out there, perhaps even visited, perhaps on our moon." Now, obviously, he's cued in, he's clued in, and a lot of people have been debunking the moon and everything that's gone on the moon, but you ask yourself, why haven't we been back there? Oh, it's just got a bunch of moon dust. Now you hear about mining the moon. There are actually companies being formed that are going to not only mine the moon, but asteroids and Mars. As Tim stated, and I stated this, after Antarctica became headline news around the world, which incidentally coincided with the release of my book, Empire Beneath the Ice, How the Nazis Won World War II, what I'm saying is this, is that there are time, if you will, spans or specific points in time where God releases revelation that's been hidden. And you're seeing that even in the political realm as the trees of wickedness are being, what would I say, known by the fruit they bear. If you've never seen the complete scam and sham of Republicans and Democrats, you're seeing it now. But interestingly enough, the deception is the key in understanding all this stuff. It's important, I think, for people to get this through their head, that we are in a time like no other time in history. And listen to this. Dr. Walter Rydell, and he was a chief designer and research director at the German Rocket Center in Peenemünde, and if I'm pronouncing that wrong, I apologize to my German listening audience. Maybe it's Peenemünde, I don't know. But what most people don't understand, Rydell, and I deal with this in my book, was ahead of all the secret projects, and he knew what was going on, and all the Hanubu series of the Bell, the shape, the different, even the cigar-shaped craft that people still see today were of German design. And here's what he said. He said this, and this is again, I am completely convinced, I'm repeating this, that UFOs have an out-of-world basis. Then he said, and he's considered, like I said, there are three people considered, if you will, the triumvirate of modern rocketry. You've got Goddard in the U.S., but you've got Dr. Hermann Oberth, the German, and you've got, Wernher von Braun. It is my thesis that flying saucers are real and that they are spaceships from another solar system. There is no doubt in my mind that these objects are interplanetary craft or of some sort. I and my colleagues are confident that they do not originate in our solar system. Now, we've been on record, both Tim and I have been on record, that as we find the evidence or more archaeological ancient history of the stargates and of the phenomenon associated with stargates, you can't even get away from acknowledging the drawings, if you will, of whether they're ancient astronauts. Now, here's where we differ. We are not of the ancient astronaut theory that they created us. I am of the opinion, and I'll be presenting this at Branson, I'll be presenting a 15-minute video that's been produced that shows the whole realm of God's judgment on the planet Rahab. Mars had an elliptical orbit at times that was out of the order that you see of orbital physics today. So if the ancients could detail in so much clarity as far as 700 years before Jesus, then I'm going to start using BBOJ, before the birth of Jesus, and I'm going to start using AROJ, after the resurrection of Jesus, not before common era, etc. You know, the idea is this, that we have so much evidence in history, ancient history, of the very things that Tim is talking about. Now listen, people know the difference when something's spiritual versus something's physical. Those of you familiar with Gallon Valley, Bozeman, if you go out of Four Corners, which is basically the intersection of different highways, and head up US 91 towards Big Sky and then on to West Yellowstone, my wife and I were coming down about 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago now, at the Squaw Creek Turnoff. The Squaw Creek Turnoff is a kind of a stone bridge that goes over to a place called Squaw Creek. There's a Forest Service cabin. And we looked up to the right as we were driving down the canyon, headed north towards Bozeman, and there was a giant column of light that had to be 3 miles wide. It was almost as coherent as a laser beam, but it was something that you'd only see in a movie, special effects. And it was absolutely making no noise. So I said to my lovely wife, let's cross the bridge and go look at it. To which she said, are you nuts? and I basically yielded to probably her wisdom. But so many times, Doug, I've been in the night vision business, and I used to have a photo store, sold really high-powered telescopes. I mean, high-dollar ones, you know, beyond 14-inch Celestrons, for those of you who are 14-inch Meads. The point is that so many phenomena are visible with night vision in the night skies, seeing things crossing the horizon that are not satellites, that go contrary, that zigzag, and they usually fly in formations of three. So now let me tell you a story that happened during the radio career, and a lot of people may remember this. I was about to bring on, and I won't name him, a very well-placed special operations general who basically has got magic and cosmic clearance, and he's the guy that decides who gets it. There's two factions going on in Majestic. There's the evil faction and then the magic faction, which is good, named after the Magi, not magic as in ritual magic or anything like that. The idea simply is that they have so much advance that unless you understand Bud Rich's statement, Ben Rich, I think his name was, they called him Bud sometimes, but his name is Ben Rich. He said this. Now, he was the second director of Lockheed Skunk Works, which makes all the secret stuff and reverse engineers everything. We now have technology to take E.T. home. Well, why would you have to take him home unless he was stranded, unless he was landed and stranded here? And he said, there are two types of UFOs, the ones we build and the ones they build. We already have the means to travel among the stars, but these technologies are locked up in black projects and would take an act of God to ever get them out to benefit humanity. And then he goes on to say, when asked how do these UFO propulsion systems work, he said, let me ask you, how does ESP work? The questioner responded, all points in time and space are connected. Rich then said, that's how it works. So back to the general. I don't know, Doug, if you remember, I think you and I were making friends about the time that relationship was ending, but I can tell you this, Hawk was very much involved in this. There were people that were eyewitnesses. Diana, you remember this if you're listening. There were others who were basically given get-off-the-planet patches, and you may have a really hard time to believe that. But anyway, the technology that they possess is so far in the future that the statement was, as far back in time as you can imagine, that's how far in the future we already are. So the Saturn space program, the space shuttle, all the stuff you see as the visible representation of the National Aeronautics Space Administration, or as some people call it more correctly, never a straight answer. The idea simply is this. That was for public consumption. When you want to figure out where all the trillions and trillions of dollars have gone, they've gone into black projects. Those who have been very vociferous about Stargates, I know two people that have been through them. Actually, more than that, but I know two that I can call up now. The other ones, I can't talk to anymore. The point being is that it's so hard for the humans who get on airplanes to fly here to there, even jet fighter pilots who can, you know, travel at sometimes, let's say, 2,000 miles per hour, or the secret black stuff that uses electrogravitics and can jump space. So when you hear somebody that's in charge of the most sophisticated technology that we know to possess, and they're talking about there's two types of technologies, reiterating Hermann Oberth and one of the three most important people in modern rocketry, when you go in and understand that the Vimanas of ancient Indian legends and also historic narratives really existed, and you're talking about nuclear war, actual nuclear war on planet Earth, even as the vitrified glass of the different above-ground nuclear tests have, it's going to be pretty mind-blowing to people as God reveals the true history of the world. Because now what you're seeing in this country, all truth is parallel. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows forth his handiwork. That's what the psalmist said. But also, the hand of God is revealing to the world, especially to Americans, the duplicity that they have allowed to exist in their news media and also their entertainment business. Somebody said, describe Martian Chronicles, and I said, look at Hollywood. For the record, you know, I have a motion picture degree and a still photography degree, just in case people wonder, you know, I had one guy demand to know where I went to college, and, you know, the point being, I went to MSU Film School, and the requirement for us was to pick a field of movies that were our favorite. Obviously, I took science fiction. Well, as you start to even look up, and there's some that are left off, all the series, both the television and the movies, Invaders from Mars, The Angry Red Planet, all of the different Japanese movies that had Mars and moon bases, and the people talking about this interstellar war, and I think most of the lists you see, the Mysterians, I don't know how many of you like that stuff. I used to stay up almost all night and watch, you know, Godzilla, Mothra, and the Mysterians. It sounds like three bands, doesn't it? But the point is that the theme has always been there. The first movie about Martians landing in, I think it was 1957, landing in a young man's backyard, and his parents had implants. How did they know about brain implants in 1957? And what's astonishing is that so many of the stelae, so many of the petroglyphs, geoglyphs, all of even the paintings, the rock art, when you look deeper, they're constellations, and they could not have had the knowledge as looking heavenward, but whoever was in the heavens had to come down and tell them about the movement of the stars. Every single pyramid, every single sacred, mysterious, unusual sight, all lined up with the heavens. And as you know, we talk in our movie, The Holocaust of Giants, we talk about the events that are going on to cover up the true history. Here's the reason why this stuff is important. And Doug, you'll get emails, I'll get emails. Let me make it clear to everybody. Because that which professes Christianity has tried to hide away, explain away, or not deal with the anomalies that are out there that people want serious answers to, basically the church abdicated the truth. And for the record, every church father that is noted for some of them being burned at the stake because they wouldn't deny Jesus believed in the fallen entities. They believed in fallen angels. They believed in fallen angels having sex with earth women. And the Sons of Seth is absolutely a very, I can't say that word, poor, another word that comes before poor, attempt to cover up biblical truth. Because again, the ramifications are too overwhelming. Now let's take the realm of sex, okay? And I said this on your show, I think, what, a couple weeks ago? I woke up one morning and the giant S and the EX showed up along with the statement, Satan's execution of the human race. Now, I started thinking about that, and as one of the guys that was first on the block of, you know, maybe Blog Talk or Block Talk Radio, BLOCK Talk Radio, the idea that we would come to a place where artificial intelligence, where literally we would have sex bots, believe me, that didn't go over well, Doug, 24 years ago. It was that it was so beyond people's grasp. And then you get Dimitri Dudeman being told by the angels. I know there are people that say he doesn't know. You know, they deny prophecy. I get an email from a Arnold Henry. Anybody in police vocabulary will understand that. Why do you believe all these prophets? Well, because some of them been right. And boy, this guy would have a real hard time with the fact that, you know, the prophetic nature of Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark, and then all of the book of Daniel, the time of the end where knowledge would increase, they testify against the ignorant denial of prophetic. And in the book of Daniel, it talks about an alien God. Tom Horn goes into great explanation on that, and he's done it on your show. So what we're trying to do tonight is get everyone to understand that they're not just dealing with a basically a Ouija board spirit. I can tell you this, in doing the research for my book, Empire Beneath the Ice, literal entities were ectoplasmic meat birth out of a woman who was a psychic, and the ectoplasmic entities that were birthed just in the same place normal babies come from was giving advanced physics, advanced knowledge to the occultists who were conjuring this thing up and bringing it forth. I find it interesting that because God originally gave man dominion over the earth and man forfeited that dominion, now Satan and those who serve him were willing to take the dominion, and the Christians go, what's dominion? I think they mix it up with a pizza. No, that's Domino's. Dominion, okay? Or they come up with some dominion theory, and they try and take their position, quote, as Christians, given back that control of the earth, yet they don't do it in the power of the Holy Ghost. So they don't do it as Jesus said it would be done. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. But, you know, in this world ye shall have tribulation. So modern-day Christianity, actually starting with the Darbyites and the Irvingites and the McDonald sisters, comes up with, well, you get out of here before it gets bad. And now I think, and you may know better than I do, Tim, but aren't there people saying that September 21st or 23rd, that's when the rapture happens and all that? I tell people there's only one difference between rapture and rupture, and that's the letter U. And I'm not being facetious. I believe, and I'm on record as saying this, that I don't care how many of you get upset. I would challenge every one of you to try and put into perspective, number one, that you're still here. Number two, we're talking about North Korea, nuclear war, Russia, China, everybody ganging up on the United States. And
hey, Steve,
what?
If you can hold that thought, we're right up against the break. Folks, you're listening to Steve Quill and Timothy Alberino. They'll be with us throughout the next hour, taking us to the end of the show. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to this Thursday edition of the Hagmann Report. We'll be right back.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the belly of the beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, DanielHoldings.com. That's DanielHoldings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to DanielHoldings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagmann. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagmann takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.